Welcome to the best 3,000 songs I've heard so far, The Chart Show, an audio revelation of a snapshot in time provided by two gurus of absolutely nothing, save for a bunch of occasional informed and well self-assured opinions about the music reviewed from various genres and years presented on this show. Hey Dade, let's go.
Hello and welcome to the inaugural event of our lifetimes. This is Joseph Gwynn, and we are bringing you the best 3,000 songs we've heard to date, The Chart Show. I am very pleased that our friends at Ages of Rock have allowed us to be part of their platform. My co-host is one of the members of Ages of Rock's now famous Around the World podcast, Mr. Dennis Talbot, a man that I've known since we were 6 years old. I'm not sure either one of us have matured much beyond that, but nonetheless, we still know each other as 49 years later. And I'm still going strong. Mr. Dennis, thank you for having us.
Yes, and I have to say that all the cursing that I do on the Ages of Rock podcast was thankful to Mr. Gwynn, because I think I learned every curse word I had from you. As is our own podcast, this thing is unedited, it's unscripted, extremely unprofessional.
Amen.
And there's, and we will be cursing and whatever we have to do to get through this thing. But we have started this thing on Facebook as far as the best 3,000 songs we've ever heard. Joe came up with the idea. I ran with it also, and it's something that we're trying to get going. It's just to let people know and open people to songs that they have maybe never heard before, or maybe you did hear it and you hadn't heard it in a long time. So it's just a celebration of great music. So this show that Joe's doing, that we're doing today, is something else that Joe came up with, and we had, I get calls from him as he travels in his car, and he says, "I'm listening to Casey Kasem's,
this week in the 1970s on XM radio."
Exactly, yeah. And he's just bitching, going, "Boy, these songs suck," or "These songs are great."
So, I might have an opinion.
Exactly. So it's just one of these things where we're gonna pick a week and of a certain year and
a certain decade. It's not just the 70s. We're going to try to visit as many decades as we can.
Right. And it's just basically a celebration of music. We're going to like some. We're going to hate some. It's just all an opinion. And you'll have an opinion also when you listen to this.
So. And you're free to share that. But if you do, we're also free to respond. So.
Exactly.
Nevertheless. So the reason that I've been harassing Dennis to do a chart show was because as we grew up in the 1970s, we were exposed a lot, mostly to AM radio, until we were cool enough to figure out FM radio was more our style.
Or our dads bought a car that had an FM radio.
Or our dads bought a car that had an FM radio. That's more likely. Absolutely.
My dad was an AM guy for a long time.
Yeah, and so let's give a special shout out to the radio stations that we listened to as kids. Yep. WTCJ in Tell City.
Yes.
WITZ in Jasper.
Yes.
And because I'm originally from Terre Haute, WBOW in Terre Haute. All right. I want to, and let me turn it back over to Dennis, but the week that we're doing for this broadcast is the U.S. Top 40 Singles Week, ending the 10th of August, 1974. We may not always be doing the Top 40. We may be doing Hard Rock Weeks, Soul Weeks, whatever it may be, but this is where we're starting. I chose this date because Dennis was always already the ripe old age of 10 for about 5 weeks at this point, and I was still about five or six weeks away from being 10, 9 years old. Nonetheless, we heard these, a lot of these songs on the radio. Some of them we never heard until we got older, and some of them were wondering why in the hell did we ever have to listen to begin with.
Exactly. And I was really surprised, because I sit down today and went through the list of 40. And, of course, I picked the wrong list. Of course, it was a couple weeks earlier. But luckily, the list don't change very much. You know, they shifted a few notches here and there. There was a few new ones coming in and going out. But all in all, I had to listen to probably go back and listen to about maybe out of 40, probably 18 of these songs. And then once I heard the song, I'm like, yeah, I know what it is. But there was a couple there that I had not heard. The interesting thing that I found out is it's a very, for that year and for this month, it was an extremely Motown type driven black artist for top 40, to be honest. I mean, yeah. And 70s music was that. I mean, it reflected what it was at that point.
Right.
But it was, and the thing is, they're great songs. But the thing was, I was amazed of how much Motown influenced music was in that.
Agreed. And actually, that's a great segue because we're going to talk about the first song number. We're starting in reverse, and we'll post the top 40 so you can kind of follow along when this is released. But the first song is actually a political song, "Fish Ain't Biting" by Lamont Dozier. Lamont Dozier was the one of, along with Brian and Eddie Holland, were part of Holland Dozier Holland from Motown Songwriters. Left Motown in the early 70s to start their own label, Invictus. But most prominently, they were the reason that the Supremes became who they became, because everything that the Supremes had tried songwriting-wise in Motown had kind of flopped until they started working with Holland Dozier Holland. The song, Lamont Dozier was a decent singer. Can't say that it's a song that I would put in my top 3,000 list, and that's a little caveat too, is that at the end of each of our sessions, we're going to choose and see if there's any song at all on these lists that we're going to include in our top 3,000 or maybe have already included in our top 3,000. So, and Dennis, I know this was probably one of the first or second time you'd heard this song. What did...
It actually was one of the ones that I had to look up. And it's really funny. You know, you talk about the 80s and how there was a cookie cutter thing of a lot of the metal and the hair bands and the things of the 80s. 70s also was, there were cookie cutters. There was that kind of that wow, 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 you know, that kind of...
Overproduced stuff. Yeah.
And this song here was one that I was not familiar with, but once listening to it, it's like, well, yeah, it fit. I mean, it is a 70s cookie cutter song.
You can't miss that it's 70s.
Oh, no, it is. It's going to be in the, like, it'll be the background in a Starsky and Hutch, you know, show at some point. But no, it is. But is it a bad song? No. But it's just kind of, that's why I didn't know it.
It doesn't stand out. It doesn't grab your imagination and your interest for too long.
No.
Even though I do like the Tricky Dick reference in there.
That was. And it is a political song.
Because it is fun. It's like, Tricky Dick, stop your bullshit. You know, so it's, and it was 1974, so when this came out, actually, it was August 10th. 2 days prior to that, Mr. Nixon had resigned. On August 8th, 1974.
But being that it was released, this was written...
Very timely.
Before his
investigation. But yeah, when the Watergate... Well, no, it was actually...
But it was during Watergate.
It was during the investigation, right. But yeah, he hadn't quite been reminded...
The timing was pretty good on that.
Perfect. Absolutely perfect.
Exactly.
So the next song is one that is near and dear to the hearts of... anybody who's ever had amorous relations with women and like to have good mood music.
Right.
And Big Brother Barry White singing Can't Get Enough of Your Love, Babe. It is definitely a fertility song, so to speak.
Well, when you say that, you have to lower your voice about...
My darling, I can't get enough of your love, babe.
You gotta get...
Forgive me, brother. Forgive me in heaven, Brother Barry.
But so, you can't... I mean, it's Barry White.
It is
Barry White, and it's kind of like somebody else that we're going to talk about in this other in this list. You know, James Brown.
Absolutely.
You know, when Barry White makes a song,
you know exactly who it is.
It's Barry White.
Yeah, there's.
And he ain't talking about fighting. He ain't talking about politics.
He talking about
loving.
Maybe I think we need to clean
it's
the
baby
sheets.
Something. And somebody's going to get laid.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So.
Great song, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good song.
The next song is number 38. It's an instrumental. by a group you may or may not have heard of, out of the Tuskegee Institute in Tuskegee, Alabama, the Commodores, and it's the Instrumental Machine Gun, a song that a lot of people, as I said to Dennis, I asked him if he remembered it, and he said, "Yeah, as soon as I started playing it."
Right.
So it
didn't recognize the
title. Yeah,
the title. You know, I love the Commodores, and I was really surprised, though. In the 70s was that thing where instrumentals were something that could get by. Has there in the last 10 years been an instrumental on the radio? I mean, to be honest, I mean, the 70s were really, you know, you had Hot Butter Popcorn. I think the last one was probably Chariots of Fire, and that was probably in the, mid-80s or something like that. But there's very few instrumentals, but this is one of those ones, and this was on, actually, it was on Boogie Nights. Yes, and they used it on Boogie Nights.
I love that movie, yeah.
So, you know, it's a very big stapled instrumental.
It's a funky tune.
Which is on this top 40, there's actually two instrumentals on this.
There is. We'll get to that later, but absolutely.
But it's surprising that, you know, here, you know, nowadays you don't get any instrumentals, and here we had two on the top 40.
Not as many instrumentals.
And I honestly, though, did not know that was the Commodores. So. Yeah. And that's why I like
it. And I didn't either for years, and it's like, oh, that's Commodores, no kidding.
Right. Yeah. So, and that's another reason why, you know, I love Ages of Rock, because I learned things that don't know.
Yeah, you guys
but today, doing this, I've already learned something that I didn't know, so, you know.
Well, you guys go.
Was Lionel in the band at this point?
Oh, yeah. No, he was okay. Yeah, he was the one.
So, that's one thing I did
know. Keyboard.
Oh.
That's him, yeah.
Okay.
No, but, good.
Cool.
And for those of you who may be listening to this because of our 3,000 list and have never heard the Ages of Rock podcast.
Have you used this song?
No.
Okay.
I think that you should definitely go through their prior episodes.
Oh, yeah.
There's a ton of great artists, great musicians, great music historians like the one you just finished this week.
Oh, with Julian?
Yeah, yeah. Julian.
Are you talking about Ages of Rock?
Yeah, Ages of Rock.
Oh no, we're all a bunch of we just kind of wing it.
Other than Alan looking like Amish Bob,
he doesn't look a little Amish, but that's
he does,
okay.
Yeah,
but he has electricity. I know him. I know where he lives. He has a TV.
You know, he's a Mennonite. Yeah,
he has a TV.
Yeah. So, but
we love Alan.
Absolutely. So anyway, right. Go back to the next list.
All right, where are we at?
Number 37.
What we got?
Happiness Is Just Around the Bend by The Main Ingredient. Totally forgettable song.
Yawn. Okay.
Now, the only notable...
I had to look it up, and then I skipped it once I heard it. So.
It's
70s, cutter. Yeah, it is.
Well, and it's the lead singer is Cuba Gooding, father of Cuba Gooding Jr. I think Cuba just died. Father just died.
I did not know that. There you go.
Yeah, so it's...
was he the main ingredient of the band?
I think he was their second lead singer.
Okay, there you go. Well, so he wasn't the main ingredient.
No, he wasn't the main ingredient.
He was kind of like the pepper to the salt. So.
Exactly. So we're going to skip on to the next one, one that a lot of people will know by those Canadians, the Guess Who.
Yeah.
And that is Clap for the Wolfman.
There you go.
He going on a Rachel record high.
And you know what? We will not get caught by YouTube or any people on that one, because that was a terrible rendition of that.
Well,
but it's good.
You know, but
but we know what we're talking about.
He talks about the pompousness of love, you know. But YouTube may sue me for singing so poorly, but you know what the hell.
No, they won't even.
If you're tone deaf, I'm sure I sound great.
They know what you're talking about, though. But exactly. It's a good song, though. Guess Who was a really, it was a decent band. I mean, they had some great tunes.
Burton Cummings, by this point, though, because you'll notice he's on the list later, right. Randy Bachman had left the group.
Right.
So
get another band. A little band,
yeah. Yeah, okay. We'll talk about them in a little while. So, and the next one, Dennis, I want you to please read the title, because you're a married man and...
One hell of a woman.
And she is.
She is indeed. And that is my wife.
Fun song.
You know, the thing is, I like Mac Davis as a... I mean, he's a decent singer, but Mac Davis is a hell of a songwriter.
Yeah, he was. Yeah,
and it's almost like Chris Christopherson.
Absolutely.
You know, I don't like when he performs music.
Right.
But Chris has wrote a shit ton of great, great tunes.
The man,
and I think
he's soulful. He's a poet.
And Max got a better voice than Chris, don't get me wrong. But I just think that he is a better songwriter than he is a performer. Now, is it bad? No. I just think that if he would have sold every tune that he ever wrote to somebody who could really, 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 really sing, it'd have been better.
Yeah, he also did some pretty forgettable movies in the 70s,
Well, of
too,
course. Right? Well, he got into that.
Cannonball Run or something.
Oh, no, he did North Dallas 40.
Oh, North Dallas. No, that's not as bad, though. You know.
But no, he didn't do Cannonball Run, did he?
No, I mean, Bert and Dom DeLuise did that. But, you know, I thought he was in that. But
no.
Never know.
The, you know, Jerry Reed, of course, he got into the...
Yes, well,
that's another list.
I love Jerry Reed.
And that's another list, and we'll talk about... Actually, absolutely. His name will come up later.
He's fantastic.
But he will come up later in this conversation.
Yes.
For a reason. Anyway.
Now, Dennis, please tell me what you think of the next song. Number 34.
Okay. It's Elvis Presley trying to be black as he can. And, you know, the thing is, when you start hearing this song... It's a great 70s song. It's got that bonk, and it's got that kind of Motown-ish beat, and then Elvis comes in singing over top of it, and it's like trying to put a square peg in a round hole. It just doesn't work.
By this point, the peanut butter and banana sandwiches were ruining his brain and his voice.
And I mean, he's almost like Kiss. I mean, you're going with. You know, you're getting, you know, Kiss did the same thing with disco. You know, we went into, you know, I Was Made for Loving You. When you're black and leather and you're spitting blood and shooting flames, and now you're doing a disco song because disco's big.
Exactly.
So Motown has hit. They're doing all these, you know, Bow Chicka Wow Wow songs. Well, Elvis never had a Bow Chicka Wow Wow song, and he tried it. And the song is good. The music is awesome because, of course, you know, they got the best players, but his voice does not mix with it. You know, it is a good try.
Well, and you know, you're right about as far as Elvis, at that point in the 70s, he was trying to do different songs, different genres.
Right.
And we'll get into Elvis on other
You're talking 74, and so now we're, what, 3 years from...
3 years from
being gone.
Being gone, exactly.
So he was...
He was already...
And of course, Elvis never made one decision by himself. It was...
It was always... Colonel. Bastard, may he rot in hell. That's exactly. Why we'll talk about him later.
Exactly.
But number 33 is Edgar Winter, younger brother of Johnny Winter.
Right.
The fantastic blues guitarist. This is a song that, again, can't really say that it really did much for me. Rivers Rising.
Actually, I'm a big Edgar Winter fan. And honestly, I had never heard this song before.
I hadn't either.
And so it's kind of forgettable. I mean, it's nothing spectacular. So, carry on, my weird word son.
And indeed, with all.
Too bad a Kansas song isn't next because they were great.
We're 3 or 4 years away from their first song. All right. On charts, but
let's go to somebody who we know.
Yes.
There we go.
So the next one is, I have a very polarizing opinion about the next artist. It's a song titled My Thing by the godfather of soul, James Brown.
Who's he?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, he's that guy that was on PCP at one time, right?
Possibly. But the thing about James Brown by 1974 had gone through about 4 years of the same damn song, different titles.
Right.
I mean, the songs all sounded the same. In fact, the only song from the 1970s, early 70s of his that I really, really enjoy is the one that his saxophonist Maceo Parker was the title on, and that's like Doing It to Death. I'm sorry, Fred Wesley was the one doing that, not Maceo Parker. But unlike Live at the Apollo and some of the cool songs like Night Train in the early 60s, James was all in for the paycheck at this point.
Right.
So, anyway, so we shall go on to number 30.
This is a good song, don't get me wrong. But it, of course, when you hear it, it's James Brown.
It's just like
Barry White. I mean, it's like, it's a James Brown song.
Yeah.
It sounds like the same song.
But
kind of Bon Jovi-ish, you know. It's a Bon Jovi song.
It's a Bon Jovi song, yeah. But Barry's songs never always sound the same.
Right.
Barry was a composer.
He was trying to hit some other piece of butt at that point.
Yeah, exactly. So the next song is by the Fifth Beatle. Or as people called him, and that's Billy Preston, who this was one of his first vocal songs. because, or at least one of his first vocal hits, not one of his first vocal songs, because the song I think that might have been prior to this, or even a couple songs prior, was the instrumental, again, Out of Space.
Right.
Which is known to a lot of people, even if they don't really know the title and so forth. This is Nothing from Nothing, which we remember riding on the bus.
We go high like a bird up in the sky. So this was pre before this one, though.
Okay. So this is Nothing from Nothing needs nothing.
And, oh, great tune, though. I mean,
it is.
Now, did he write his own tunes?
I think so. I can't speak definitively to this, but...
Okay. Because, that's one of these things where, you got people that were... say, like Elvis. Elvis sang that song. Elvis never wrote a damn song in his life.
Right.
They bought songs. But, no, Billy Preston, I think, he wrote, and, of course, he's a hell of a keyboard player, and love that song, though. They're always catchy. They were radio tunes. They were huge AM radio tunes at that
point. They were old. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, what do we have next, Dennis?
On and On by Gladys Knight and the Pips.
On and On.
Yeah.
So,
not one of their best songs.
No.
But, it's Gladys Knight.
It is. And this is.
And the Pips.
And this is at the point where they'd already moved to Buddha Records. They'd left Motown.
Right.
And went to Buddha Records. And this is during the same year that Midnight Train to Georgia came out.
Oh, my God. The greatest song ever.
Yeah.
Greatest video. You watch them, guys. They're doing like, choo-choo. Oh, wow. They're chugging along. And it's like, Gladys Knight,
I mean, that was
in front of her.
It was a brother, her cousin, and a family friend that were the Pips. And
right.
They were fantastic.
You can't say a bad word about her. Even a bad song, on a bad day, Gladys Knight could out-sing anyone.
Oh, absolutely. She's fantastic. Yeah. I love her.
And the Pips were...
The Pips were fantastic.
They were the Tips of the Pips.
Exactly.
No, they were fantastic. So it was just... But is it my favorite song from them? No.
No, I agree. No. I agree.
But you can't complain.
Number 29 is by two very famous artists. Oh,
yeah. Exactly.
One who had been famous for a decade by then, and another one who'd been around for a while and had some songs, but were just really coming into their huge era of their career. And that's the song is Then Came You, and it's by Dionne Warwick and the Spinners.
Right. It's amazing that they kind of hooked up. Because the Spinners were, on their own, were good.
Well, they were. Well, I think it's just, I really don't know the story behind it, but...
You think, though, that Dionne Warwick had a premonition... A psychic premonition.
From the psychic hotline. Absolutely.
See, that's where the psychic hotline come from. She knew that...
She needed to record this song.
If I hooked up with the Spinners, we're going to have a hit.
We'll make another hit.
And
exactly.
Then Came You. Yeah. I love Dionne Warwick. That's another woman that could... she could sing the phone book and it's just,
Well, but luckily she sang... I'm a... monstrous fan of the catalog of Burt Bacharach and Hal David, which is how she made most of her hits.
She probably made more money off the Psychic Network, though, to be honest. Back then, that shit was big money.
it was, and I'm sure your parents still haven't forgiven you for that phone bill. No,
I don't believe in psychics. So,
that
was good.
But the next one is a song that I enjoyed how you explained it.
Well, it is basically a really shitty rendition of Wild Thing. It's terrible. Don't even...
If you see it, or
if you look at it, just walk away. Don't even think about it. It's a terrible,
By a group named Fancy. No idea who they were.
Are they in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? I don't think they're in any Hall of Fame.
They're probably not even in their...
They're not in
your high school Hall of Fame.
They're not in the discount bin anywhere. That's how bad it is.
Yeah, you can't even.
No clip corners. We don't even know.
No dollar albums on them, yeah.
We don't even know. Fancy, so, who the fuck's that?
now, if by chance somebody hears this.
Yeah. And you got that record, somewhere. I want to buy that record.
And if you know one of those members of that group, do not give them our address.
So, I'll give you a penny for that album. How's that?
That might be a little high. So.
Okay.
But the next song...
Oh, there you go.
The next song was a very popular song at that time.
Right.
By a group called the Hughes Corporation. And I think this song probably eventually made it to number one, or may have been on the way back down. And that is...
Rock the Boat.
Yeah.
Now, is that beginning of the rock yacht rock kind of thing?
That is a... That's a good segue. Because
that's where this, the AM Gold, early 70s AM hits,
they all
were considered now yacht rock.
Exactly.
So it was Rock the Boat, the beginning of this?
Well, it could be. Well, I got to know.
I like the song, though.
You got the notion.
I know. I like it.
Oh, it's a great song.
It is a great song.
Number 26.
We got some more rock coming.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Number 26 is a song that I absolutely love by a singer that I really enjoy.
Right.
Whose wife was also a recording artist.
And more of this Motown. I mean, I'm telling you, this 74 list.
Well, this was...
Black artist-wise and Motown influence type music.
Well, the 60s influences of Motown, Stax.
Right.
High Records out of Memphis as well, just like
it's that. Amazing how many there is, though.
Yeah,
I mean back then
it's more reflective than what it became in the 80s. I agree.
Oh, and of course,
or even in the late 70s.
Right,
but
disco hit, it kind of killed everything.
It did.
Just kind of
so. But and actually, the previous song "Rock the Boat" could almost be considered a disco song.
I guarantee there's some disco at some point. Put this in at some point, and maybe actually probably made a remix out of it,
right?
Because it is something that could be that part. But
it's a groove song.
It kind of just puts you in a mood. It's one of those things where I wouldn't necessarily pick that song to listen to, but it's not one of those ones. Not one of those ones that I'm gonna turn the volume down.
Yeah,
I'll listen to it.
I'll say more than once on any of these shows we ever do, I am Caucasian Soul Brother number one. So it's I have a very healthy collection of album CDs, downloads from the Napster days,
exactly,
things like that.
Napster, what's that?
I have no idea.
No idea.
But so Dennis, please tell us about the song we would hear on the bus every damn day. Number 25.
We heard that? Rub It In?
Oh, yeah.
I never really heard that
rub
on our
it
bus.
In, rub it
I, you
in.
Must have, you had a different bus driver.
Well, because, yeah, which bus did you ride?
Partridge's. 15.
I rode Pud Grove's bus.
Yeah.
17.
Pud would listen to these.
Yeah, Pud
we listened to KDQ in, was it KDQ out of?
Evansville?
Evansville.
Yeah, probably you did.
We listened to that one. And we would get, we get a lot of ELO and shit like that on our...
Right.
I mean, not shit, but great tunes. Well, but yeah, Pud was an old dude. He was 70s when
Pud was fantastic.
He's great. He's the only guy I know of driving the road and looking in the rearview mirror the whole time, looking back.
We were little assholes on there,
He didn't give a shit what the road looked like. He was
what are these little bastards doing? I know. But
Pud Groves was actually a bus driver for my dad.
Well, yeah.
I shit you not.
No, I believe that because I was speaking to another guy recently that's about your dad's age.
Right.
Did you not go to high school?
A Christie.
Well, hell, Bruce Sisna from Christie. That's
we'll have to ask
him. They were all about
Buckles. Buckles was dad's teacher.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
No, Jim Buckles.
So I know you guys don't give a shit about this, but this is funny. Yeah, that's what we're talking.
Well, yeah.
Anyway.
So we're reminiscing, folks.
Anyway.
But Billy Crash Crowd, this song was actually kind of a...
This is a country song.
It's a country song.
It is a country song.
A lot of... That was the other thing, too. There were
is kind of almost a crossover.
Well, and see, the point you were making about the R&B and the soul music...
Well, and Mac Davis is not a rock.
Country music, yeah.
He is more of a folk, country
kind
of... Well, they call it now singer-songwriter.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't be actually, I don't think he would be considered country because he's more of a singer-songwriter.
But then,
Mac Davis, if you went to get a Mac Davis record, you'd probably find it in the country section.
Oh, absolutely. Well, did a lot of his songwriting in Nashville for Nashville artists.
Of course they did. Yeah,
so,
of course
well,
did.
And not that everybody else didn't, other than, but no, the, but this
So Rub It In, of course Rub It In was more of a, it was a country-ish kind of, had a flair to it.
Well, and like I said, the point you were making about soul music was the same for country. You had a lot of country artists that would cross over at that time period in the 70s, too. You had a lot of songs that were...
Well, they were cookie-cutter 70s. We want to get on the radio. And they knew how to do it. Put a little orchestration behind it. A little chicka-wah-wah, chicka-wah-wah.
You watch way too much porn.
I'm telling you.
Starsky
and Hutch,
Well, it's the Wawa on the
train. The hedgehog would approve. How's
the hedgehog. Free the hedgehog.
Free the hedgehog.
Oh, my God.
All right.
So the next song is one that I absolutely enjoy. Johnny Bristol was a songwriter from Motown, so back to Motown Connection.
Right.
And so he was a songwriter from Motown, a successful songwriter.
Right.
This was his first big hit on his own, Hang On In There, Baby.
Not a bad song. It's one of the ones that I had to look up, I enjoyed it.
It's an interesting song because in this decade and in this century, this was a song about basically losing your virginity, but about this guy encouraging the girl, woman, whatever, to lose her virginity. So,
right.
Good song, but now when you hear the lyrics, it's like,
Keep on.
But anyway, it's but that's all I've got to say about that for now. But worth the listen if you've never heard it. The next one is by some asshole. I don't know what his name is, but number 23, if you can go through that for me.
23, I Shot the Sheriff by Eric Clapton.
Yeah.
Probably my least favorite Eric Clapton song.
I mean,
Eric Clapton's one of those people that, I mean, I give him props for being Eric Clapton and the stuff that he's wrote and the bands that he'd been in previously, everything, but I've just never been a Eric Clapton fan. I honestly never, you know, everybody's like, oh, I want to play Cocaine and this, and then, Lovely Tonight and all this, and then Tears in Heaven. It's like going, for some reason, I am, and to be a guitar player, it's odd for me because I just really don't get into Eric Clapton. And this song here has been played to fucking death. It's just absolutely.
And if I'm going to listen to it, I want to hear it by the guy who wrote it, right. Mr. Bob Marley.
Right.
So, but I'm with you on Eric Clapton.
But I'm just not. I mean, I think he's a really good guitar player.
He's not the guitar god. And for those of you who like the Derek and the Dominoes album,
Layla's probably my favorite song.
But he's not even the best guitar player on that song or that album.
But he's on it.
It's his album. It's his group. You know, the best guitar player on that, for those of you who have not heard it or read the liner notes, is the late and greatest Duane Allman.
Right.
So
of course Duane Allman was amazing. He motorcycle accident, wasn't it?
Yeah, he died, unfortunately, of a motorcycle accident.
Very close to his home, too.
In his hometown, the town where he was,
Right. I mean, he was just going home
Macon,
or something.
Georgia.
Just a few miles.
Some guy ran the stoplight and hit him or something.
And like I said, there's no dissing on Eric Clapton. He's just one of those people, even as a guitar player, I don't find anything interesting about him. Is he a great player? Yes. I just don't find anything outstanding.
Being a great player doesn't mean that
nothing appeals to me, and it's a personal opinion, but he makes great music. So anyway,
right,
where are we at now?
Number 22,
Golden Earring, Radar Love.
Oh, I love this song.
You know, I really didn't think that it was that, or I didn't think that it was that old of a song.
It does feel like an early 80s song. Doesn't it?
It does feel like an early 80s song.
Yeah,
but it,
well, which you know, it means that it still sounds.
It much it's one of those ones that it's a timeless song.
It is
very timeless.
I really enjoy the song. Absolutely,
and you know, and there's been very many covers. White Lion did a cover of it. It's just a great song, and to being in a band that's played this song, you know, a bunch of times is. It's a timeless song and everybody loves it.
And of course, like Eric Clapton, these guys are a bunch of foreigners because I think they're from the Netherlands.
Yeah.
So something of that nature.
So anyway, it's really good. So we like that.
Yeah.
All right.
Number 21.
we're gonna have a discussion about this, aren't we?
Well, it's an Australian, which unlike Canadians.
Right.
Not as other than AC/DC, God bless them.
Right.
And the Bee Gees were really British, so I don't put them in that kind of. Cause, if you don't love AC/DC, you obviously are tone deaf. But this is Helen Reddy, which she was quite popular in the early 70s.
She's a great singer.
She is a great singer. Can't say that I love her stuff.
Right.
This song in particular, her daughter was the talking part on the song with her,
which is ruins the song.
Yeah.
What else? The thing is, the song. Is a great song. It's not a rock song, and it shouldn't be on a top 40 rock thing whatsoever. I mean, this is kind of like a singer and standard song. Do you agree with me on that?
I agree with that. Yeah, you're right. This
should
is
be
a cruise ship lounge song.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be. I mean, Helen Reddy had a lot of great tunes, and she's a great singer. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, she's a good woman.
I love her.
Great
I mean, woman. She's not Karen Carpenter because she's an angel, and she is an angel now. But I love Karen Carpenter. And if you ever say anything bad about her, I will.
Well, I will not say anything bad about her. I might say something bad about some of their songs. Even though Richard Carpenter.
But Helen Reddy is in that category. You know, she was one of those people. Anne Murray, you know, Karen Carpenter, all those women of the 70s that had these great tunes. But the song itself, like you said, when I listened to it, I go, why is this even on a top 40 rock thing? This should be a singer in standard or standards. You know, it should be in a different top 40. It was picked up and it was played on the radio. But the stuff with her daughter, I mean, it's cute.
Yeah, some people like that touchy-feely shit.
Yeah, I don't like it.
I mean, the only one song of hers that I really like is because it's just kind of freaky is Angie Baby, because that's an interesting, weird story.
But her voice is, I mean, I love her voice. Is she still living? I mean, I assume so.
I
don't know. That's why I'm asking you.
That's one of those Wikipedia searches I've not taken the time to do.
Because you haven't heard anything out of her forever, so that's why I didn't know if you...
Well, let's hope she's in good health if she's still kicking.
Yeah, because she could sing at her point at her time. So
yeah.
All right.
So the next one is a song that I love, and the guy that wrote it, another Canadian. We got all these damn Canadians on here. We got a couple more coming up too.
Right.
I'll point them out as we get there. But Andy Kim, "Rock Me Gently," great song.
Great yacht rock song. I mean, that's on that list of every time you do yacht rock. Any kind of set list, it's in there.
By the way, do you know what song that he wrote for not only himself, but it was think of our childhood in the cartoons.
Okay.
And think of bubblegum rock song.
Okay, so I would think Archie's.
You're there.
Okay. Everything's Archie?
No, dude. The song that's a fun song, and he sings a good version, right. The Archie sings a good version. Wilson Pickett.
Oh, sugar.
Wilson Pickett sings a version that makes you realize that if an adult man sings it with a voice like the Wicked Pickett, it's great. Sugar. Yeah.
Right. So sugar.
Yeah. So yeah, Andy Kim wrote that song.
I didn't know he wrote that. That's
he sure did.
I mean, because of course, you know, for people who don't know this, cartoons are not real, and the Archies are not real. They were actually the Wrecking Crew.
Well, that's true. Well, of course.
I mean, the Wrecking Crew is the Archies. And actually, the Wrecking Crew was most of every musician in the 60s. So.
Yes, exactly.
Early 70s, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, some of the studio, some of the great studio bands include the Funk Brothers at Motown, and Booker T and the MGs were the house band at Stax, but the Wrecking Crew did Denver.
And then you also got what, down in...
Muscle Shoals. Yeah, you had the Swampers.
So there were, you know, most of the hits that you hear from the late 60s were not bands. They were basically singers with a studio band that were paid.
And with the Archies, man. And if you haven't seen the Wrecking Crew documentary, by
all means.
Please do. Absolutely fantastic.
We actually have interviewed... Tommy Tedesco's son.
Oh, his son, Tommy Tedesco's son. Yeah,
and
absolutely.
And like I said, that's when I've got the books.
We watched it together. I watched it the first time with you.
It's really good. It's really good. It's really, it's interesting.
So, now the next song, Dennis, I'm going to let you introduce because I have things to say.
What? I'm leaving it all up to you, Donnie Marie.
Yes.
And you're going
to
decide.
I want to
what say, we're going to do.
I want
to. Ooh.
Oh, God.
You know what, though? Marie was kind of hot back then.
Dude. She's hot now for an old broad, but I mean...
Because she's been on a Nutrisystem or whatever it is.
Yeah, but she had like 43 kids, you know.
I know.
But,
you know what, though? It was really interesting, though. I know we're getting off... Which we do on our podcast either.
Well, we do it anyway when we talk. So
Donnie Marie, you know, they started this thing in Vegas. It was supposed to be a 12-week run. And what did it go? 14 years, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was like some kind of incredible.
Yeah, they finally...
They just finally said, you know what?
We're done.
And you know what? They did it right before COVID hit.
Right.
So, you know, right now there's nothing going on out there. But, you know, the thing was, is that's how freaking popular. I mean, remember the Donnie Marie show?
Yes.
I mean, it was a staple.
Well, you know, and like I said, I think the Osmonds and Donnie Marie, I mean, you know, they're obviously good people. They... They had talent. It wasn't
right. And the thing
my appreciation for them wasn't like, oh, let me hear that song again. Right. It's like, you know, every damn time it came on the radio, I got to shut it off.
Well, they were poppy. But yeah. My friends with the Rock and Roll Residency just did a remake of Crazy Horses. Now, you know, you heard Crazy Horses.
Crazy Horses, yeah.
But I'm telling you what, that's a rock song. That's not one of these, you know, teeny bop, Paper Roses bullshit.
Do you know when they recorded that?
Puppy Love bullshit.
Do you know where they recorded that song?
I don't.
Well, they recorded that with what's that? The name's leaving me now, but they recorded it at Muscle Shoals at Fame Recording Studios.
There you go.
With Rick Hall.
There you go.
In fact, I think Rick Hall got the album of the year and producer of the year for that album, because that was you go to Muscle Shoals and you're as white bread as you can get, and all of a sudden you
get a little soul in you,
get a little soul and come out.
But anyway, there you go. You learned something. I learned something. All right, where are we at?
A song that I don't really, it's kind of a forgettable song by a group that I actually enjoyed
half the time. I was surprised about that. I had never heard that song. I looked up Grand Funk's, was it Shining On?
Yes.
And I did not recognize it.
Yeah, I mean,
I honestly had not heard it before.
I've heard it because I've got their greatest hits album.
I didn't, and I was, and it's surprising because I'm thinking, man, 1974, it was a hit. Why didn't I hear this? So.
Well, I mean, then this was before their last hit album came out, because in 75.
True.
They had.
They were hitting hard at that point.
In 75, they had their last couple of hits, one of them being Some Kind of Wonderful.
Right.
But then the song that I absolutely love, I look at it as a theme song.
Right.
Bad Time.
There you go.
I'm in love with the girl I'm talking about.
But yeah, I had to actually look that one up, so I was kind of surprised on that.
Yeah.
Love the next song, though. That's a great yacht rock song.
Great song. Another bunch of foreigners, and boys from England, the Hollies.
That was number 8, number 17.
Who started in the 60s, and I think, did he go in, was he part of Paul McCartney's band, Denny Lane? I don't know if he was.
Yeah, I think he went into the
Was wing. It the Hollies he was in, or Moody Blue? I think it was Hollies.
I don't remember, right.
But, because he was on the same Go Now, but back in the 60s, but yeah. Great band, fantastic song.
Yeah.
Always love happy that. To hear it. Love always that. Happy to hear it.
Exactly.
Next one, number 16, another band that...
I can give or take.
You can give or take. I mean, I agree. There's some of the songs I absolutely love.
Right.
Others, it's like, why? And then that's Three Dog Night, sure as I'm sitting here. And again, I don't really have much to add to
it's just kind of forgettable.
Yeah. But the next song...
Oh,
is by people that I know both of us love.
And there again, it is a band that has probably, if you want to assemble the best players in the world and record something, that's what they did.
Yeah.
You know, Steely Dan, I mean, really have never been a per se band. They were, a bunch of people who recorded together when they went out to play. You know, of course, it was Walter Becker and
Donald Fagen. And they
were the main two.
Skunk Baxter, yeah. Jeff Skunk Baxter. I think Michael McDonald occasionally sang.
Michael McDonald sang backup on a lot of that shit. He sang on Ricky Don't Lose That Number, which is
what this song is. Ricky Don't Lose That Number, right.
But Steely Dan was...
Staple of, not so much for yacht rock, but staple of the...
And you know how that name began. Don't you know how that name began, don't you?
I don't.
You don't?
No.
Steely Dan was... Somebody was talking about they went to their mom's nightstand.
I don't know.
Do you want to go any farther?
Yes, please.
Found an object in the nightstand, and they named it Steely Dan.
Mom was lonely.
Sorry.
Dad went to sleep early.
That was actually... I read an article, and they were talking about how that name became, and that's how Steely Dan became. So, anyway.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Sorry to...
Yeah, that's...
mess up somebody's childhood, but that's what happened.
Well, no, couldn't have been...
But I tell you what, though. I mean, I'm a huge Steely Dan fan, because whenever a Steely Dan tune comes on, even Steely Dan's worst tune... is better than a lot of people's best tunes.
Oh, absolutely.
Because just the musicianship in it.
Yeah, I mean, and,
It is what it is, and they were AM Gold back then.
And they, Can't Buy a Thrill, Pretzel Logic, all these albums from this era.
They're just
fantastic.
The worst song on any of those albums is better than a lot of people's best songs. So,
absolutely,
yeah.
I agree. Love those guys.
Anyway,
the next one is by a reassembled group that was very popular in the '60s.
Right,
they'd broken up for years. Bill Medley and Bobby Hatfield, the Righteous Brothers, and this song was an homage, I guess, to some of the people that had died. Mm. It's called Rock and Roll Heaven,
right?
And refers to it makes Janis Joplin, Jim Croce,
basically, you know,
anybody that died in the last 4 or 5 years.
You know, basically, they said, you know, rock, you know, heaven's got a hell of a rock and roll band because of the people that have passed away. You and know, the Righteous the Brothers band, are known for more of their Unchained Melody, you know, that kind of...
Unchained Melody,
and
Lost That Love and Feeling.
Right.
Know, these songs
but this song here, I thought it was... They kind of stepped their game up a little bit, and that's why it is a rock tune. I mean, it's a rock and roll song. It's good. I like
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Now, the next two songs, we'll take them in order, of course, are by a bunch of these damn foreigners again, these Canadians. I'll do number 13. You do number 12. Number 13 is by a man whose daughters, if you've ever seen them, he made good-looking daughters, Lebanese blood, Paul Anka, with a song that just—it's an interesting song because it refers to at a time when Roe versus Wade just came out, to not having an abortion and keeping it, and that's "You're Having My Baby." Fun little song. Paul Anka had been popular at this point. This is 1974, since the late 50s as a teenage boy.
Right.
So if anybody's wondering about the daughters, you can look them up.
But, you know, Paul's known more for his... He's a writer more than he is a singer, though, right?
Well, but no, not really. He was
I mean, he's had a lot of hits, but...
He has. He wrote, like, remember the Kodak commercials?
Sure.
The best years of our lives.
Right,
you know?
That's what I'm saying, though. I think he's more known for being a writer of tunes than he is.
Well, maybe
more
in the 70s he was.
But Paul Anka,
late 50s and early 60s.
If you don't know who the hell he is, you didn't grow up in the 70s because he was all over the place.
Yeah. I mean, he'd been all over the place
everywhere.
For the third decade by then.
Yeah.
But number 12, Dennis.
Number 12, Taking Care of Business, Buck and Turner Overdrive.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and the thing is, it's one of those things where being a, you know, we were a cover band in high school back in the, you know, late 70s, early 80s. Of course, you know, you played some BTO. Never was a big fan of those guys. I just never was a BTO fan.
Well,
And this song is just, you know, Taking Care of Business. It's great, but I've heard it
45 billion times.
Billion times, and it's just like going, okay.
Randy Bachman and Fred Turner. Fred Turner was the bass player, and my favorite of their songs wasn't "Taking Care of Business." It's a song that I could, you know, I turned the volume up to 43 on the 40 scale, and that's "Let It Ride," because Fred Turner's got.
I would agree with you. There's a couple of good BTO songs, but this is not. Like I said, this is one of those ones. It's like doing, let's say, you know, I love ZZ Top, but you know, I'm not going to play Tush once again. Well, you know, I've played that song so many times, I'm just done with it, you know.
You know, my favorite of their hits is The Grange, anyway. So
yeah, that's same deal. I don't like playing it either.
Yeah, I'm
just
sure.
Burnt on it, you know.
But let me take the next song. It's a New Orleans band called Wet Willie, with an absolutely fun song called "Keep on Smiling."
I like that song. I really do.
It's really
and you cannot song. Not smile listening to this song.
Exactly.
I mean, it's just a good. It's a good pop tune.
Great pop tune. Really, really enjoyable song.
Yeah, great.
The next one is, I'll do as well because I'm going to save number 9 for you because you have a lot to say on that. But the next one is by a group called Rufus.
Rufus.
Had a chick named Chaka Khan singing for them.
Chaka Khan.
Their first big song. Tell Me Something Good.
Yeah.
Tell Me Something Good is a fantastic song.
It's a good song.
She's a great singer.
So before she went solo, she was with Rufus?
Rufus, yeah. She was part of the group. They were based out of Chicago.
So what made her go, I mean, was she that good that she went on her own?
Well, like anybody, when you're the voice, they're going to, you know,
So you're Belinda Carlisle of the Go-Go's, so you're going to go.
Get rid of these guys, you can make more money.
You're in Scandal, but you're, you know, you're... your Patti Smyte, yeah, who wants you to go solo.
So. Right. Yeah. So, yeah, but she...
yeah. Because I know, actually, when I looked it up, it actually was under Chaka Khan, including Rufus.
No, it was originally just Rufus.
Okay.
Yeah, so but it's...
that's what
I'm
I
sure
saw.
The double, I'm sure the other billing came later.
Probably.
But Mr. Talbot, tell us about number nine.
Number nine. Let me look at my... So we have a really... It's funny. So Jim Stafford is Wildwood Weed. Jim Stafford is one of those people, and there's a category of those people. And I think that... I can think of three of them in my first thought. And it's Jim Stafford and Jerry Reed and also Ray Stevens. Now, Ray Stevens, I don't think played an instrument. Now, correct me if I'm wrong.
I don't know.
I honestly, everything I've ever seen him do, he's always just kind of a singer. And Ray Stevens' claim to fame was, you know, he wrote these kind of ditty novelty songs.
Yeah.
Now, Jim Stafford is an excellent, along with Jerry Reed. They were very, very well known and very good session players. As far as just even guitar or either other instruments. I know Jerry Reed could do banjo, could do guitar. I know Jim Stafford was a great guitar player. If you ever look him up on YouTube, you can look through. He did some things on the... I mean, if you're going back to the Smothers Brothers, so that's how far we're
right,
going back.
Right, Jim Stafford.
He would do these things where he would play classical guitar, but while he's doing it, he's fumbling and he's doing these comedic kind of things along with it. Of course, you know, he wrote songs like, you know, My Girl Bill. He did, the funny thing is, I won a free shot
Spiders
of whiskey.
Spiders and Snakes.
I got a free shot of whiskey in Nashville. This band played this song. He says, the first person to come up and tell me who played it and the name of the song gets a free shot of whiskey. And they played My Girl Bill, and I walked up there and I went, Jim Stafford, My Girl, and he goes, dude, he says, nobody ever gets that. And the thing was, because it's one of those songs, and of course he did, like I said, Spiders and Snakes. He did, and of course, you know, he's got a whole ton of it. But they're all these kind of tongue-in-cheek kind of, right. And that's how he made it. And of course, then Ray Stevens and Jim Stafford both went to Branson, and they made their lifetime. I mean, they're gajillionaires.
Yeah, exactly.
Sitting in there playing the same 10 fucking songs every day, twice a day, in a theater.
But I'd have gone to see him. I never did, but I'd have gone. Right. I've never been to Branson. But
right, I haven't either. But Jerry Reed, I put him in that same category because Jerry Reed, you know, and I actually played a song for some friends last night called Take Another Puff, which is off one of his albums. It's just a funny song. You know, and you got Coco Joe, you got, you know, She Got the Gold Mine, I Got the Shaft.
Exactly.
You know, you got Amos Moses.
Amos Moses, fantastic.
And all those songs were tongue in cheek, kind of funny. But Jerry's playing his ass off on everything he ever played for. Him and Jim Stafford, to me, are extremely underrated as musicians because of what they put out, what they're known for. You know, that's that Spiders and Snakes guy. No, he's a really good guitar player
right. That
wrote some tongue-in-cheek songs.
He made some shitload of cash off of it, yeah.
But yeah, he made a ton of cash off it. I don't. And it's like he's not sitting around in the gutter not doing anything. You know, he's sitting in Branson with a great big-ass house going, you know, Spiders and Snakes does really well, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway.
The next song is one that I just, every time I hear it, I immediately change the radio. I do not like this group.
Didn't know it.
It's a group called Blue Magic, an R&B group of the 70s, and this song, like a lot of their songs, starts out with the familiar
No. I'm thinking of porn again. Sorry.
Again, yeah,
Hedgehog. Save the Hedgehog.
Yeah, you need to get in. Save the Hedgehog, exactly. Oh my God.
Hashtag save the Hedgehog.
Exactly. So please put that on Twitter.
Yeah, I will.
So, but this song, Blue Magic, this was kind of their biggest hit,
right,
called Sideshow. And so it starts out with, like I said, everything you've ever heard on cartoons. Is dun 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 dun,
right,
dun. So it starts out the same damn, same out with that same tune.
And they got the like, kind of the announcer in the background going, step on up,
yeah,
see
yeah,
this stuff.
It's
and that's an instrumental.
Well, it's not, but
no,
step right up.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I can't stand the song. Anyway. This is the next number seven is a song by a group that.
So we missed the other instrumental. Which one was that?
Hell, I don't know now.
We said there was two instrumentals. We done screwed up.
You said there was two instrumentals.
No, I did.
I agree.
I know there is another. Well, I considered one of them running a little bit long on there. And the only thing they said was during the chorus. Keep going.
But yeah, so by all means, unless you are just a glutton for punishment and have an affinity for Blue Magic, miss that song. But the next group is one that Dennis loves. I think he's got their poster on his wall.
Oh, my girlfriend's ABBA.
Yeah.
Whatever their names are.
Annika and whatever the hell they are.
The thing I can remember is I can remember sitting in my living room and my mom and dad are in the kitchen. And I'm watching American Bandstand, and they have their ABBA is on. You know, they're singing, and they have these shirts, and they have this. They have a button at the very top of their collar, and there's this big round circle that kind of go around their edge of their boobs. You know,
get
a little cleavage shot. Yeah. I'm like going, I feel a little tingly. Oh, I'm like going, I like this band. I don't know what it is, but I'm gonna, the song. You know, so I'm 10 years old, and I'm going, okay. Something about this band is interesting.
Yeah. So the song, by the way, is one that Dennis will sing you the lyrics for.
Waterloo, no. Yeah. And it's probably the worst song of their catalog. I'm not a big Waterloo fan, but it's okay.
I'm ambivalent most of the time. I mean, I don't have anything against that, but I don't have anything.
Knowing me, knowing you, I would like better than that. But SOS. SOS was a song, actually, that they were wearing a little round. That's how much I remember that. And I get a little tingle in my pants again.
Oh, Jesus. I can't believe. In the course of this almost hour that we've been talking, that you've digressed to your
I've got a tingle in my pants. I love it.
Good Lord.
I love it.
Anyway, so number six, Dennis.
Oh, Call On Me Chicago. Great song.
Great song, especially
since... Man, how can you go wrong with Chicago?
I mean, he's my least... between the three lead singers of that era,
right?
He's my least favorite.
Really?
And we've discovered that he's kind of a little whiny shit.
Right.
And because of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame refusing to go and all that stuff like that.
True.
Peter Cetera, good bass player, fantastic group, good song.
Great really good song. Good, solid song.
Like I said, I'm more of a fan of...
And it's kind of outside that 70s box. You know, where you get that channel, you know, I'm going back to the porn thing again, but, you know, we have a lot of those, that kind of Motown-ish kind of the, that, but Chicago had this different sound. You got all those big horns, you got all this, you know, I don't know.
Lou Luhan, and I'm trying to think of the two guys, Walter Paradiser, and the other horn player, forgive me.
Chicago was in their prime at this point. I mean, they were hot, yeah, so.
So that was number six, Calling Me Chicago. Number five is a song that I don't, if you want to call it a guilty pleasure, it is a pleasure of mine. It's the cousin of Kenny Loggins. It's Dave Loggins. Please come to Boston. Yeah. Absolutely. I don't know if he's first.
That's only the first
part of the song, yeah.
Boston's his first
thing. And Boston, Denver, and L.A.
Yeah. He's like trying to move that bitch anywhere. Like,
you
please are, come to Zimbabwe for the fall.
please come to Zimbabwe for the rhino hunt.
Yeah. But no, it is a good song. I do like that song. I think it's a great. Really, really, it's another one of those yacht rock favorites that comes up every list that I pull up on yacht rock. That's a big song on that.
Yeah, one of the songs I actually never get tired of hearing.
No, it's a good one. So, I don't.
And I'll go ahead and state that this will in fact be on my list of 3,000 songs.
Oh, of course it will. I agree too.
But number four, Mr. Talbot.
Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me, Elton John. I mean, good Lord, that's a huge song. That is a huge song.
Yeah, this man, you know, the most successful.
Well, Bernie wrote it.
Bernie wrote the lyrics.
Right, and then Elton put the music together. And they put together a great song.
I mean,
a lot of great songs.
Number one artist of the 1970s, Elton John, without question.
Without question.
Yeah. The next song, Dennis, number three, I'm going to let you take this because I don't want to say anything bad until I can.
Okay. Any song by John Denver is the second best song that John Denver ever wrote. Of course, any song was written for his wife. Oh my God, it's just, it's a, it, I just love
you
that
clog
song.
Up my sign. No. What's his best song if you, this is the second best?
Poems, Prayers, and Promises. That's the one that Rod and I even told him, I said, if I die first, I want you to sing that song at my funeral. That song, you know, is basically a life-affirming song. It's like, you know, it's like, you know, poems, prayers, promises, things that we believe in, things I should have done. It's about, you know, sitting around a campfire, you know, with all my friends. You know, it's just one of those, it just kind of affirms your life. But Annie's song was written for his wife, and it's like going, I mean, John Denver, I mean, he had his issues, but John Denver is an amazing songwriter.
Well, my favorite of his songs, actually, is a song that was made famous by a different group. And
right.
If his version of singing, I like the way he sings it better than the group that recorded it was.
Right.
And that's Leaving on a Jet Plane.
Yeah, I mean,
I love his version of that song, and it's his song, so, you know.
John is John, and the thing is, you either like John Denver or you don't like John Denver. And I love John Denver. I have just absolutely, I mean, it's one of those things where I just can't get enough of it, and I sit around and listen to it. But Annie's song is just, I mean, it's fantastic. It's the best song on this top 40 right now. I love this song.
This we disagree, but by the way, before we get to the top two songs of the week, let's remind ourselves that I missed a couple of Foreigners on this. On this band, because, you know, Casey will always tell you the artists from different places. So I missed the Swedes, ABBA, of course, from Sweden, and Elton John from England.
Right.
But it brings us to the very last British group on this week's countdown. At number two, Dennis, tell us about it.
The Night Chicago Died.
Yes.
So we did a little...
Daddy Was a Cop.
Yeah.
On the east side of Chicago, which, you know, if you ever look at the east side of Chicago, it starts at Michigan Avenue and goes to the lake. So it's you know, you can tell that a bunch of wankers wrote that song, because the east side of Chicago beyond that is,
We did, like I said, we actually did our little research on this because we were curious.
Right.
And, of course, Wikipedia said it is a fictitious song about the about a mob. But the mob deal from Al Capone, and they were talking about My Mama Cried. It was written in the thought of the, was it wife of a police,
right,
that a policeman that went to this shootout with the Al Capone's gang. So that's what this whole song
is
about.
And it was loosely based also kind of like on the on the St. Valentine's Day massacre up on North Clark Street, for those of you who like to go to Chicago.
There you go. But once again, this is another staple of the yacht rock songs. Any yacht rock song or any yacht rock list of what has any kind of backing on it, this song is in there. I mean, Paper Lace. I mean, and the thing is, can you name another song by Paper Lace?
No.
Okay, so there you go.
Yeah. Well, actually, I can, because I came up with it earlier.
Right.
Yeah, and Paper Lace wrote the song and recorded it in England, released it there, that eventually became a hit here in the United States by a different group.
I forgot.
Bo Donaldson and the Haywoods.
Right.
Billy Don't Be a Hero.
That's right.
Civil War.
So here, they wrote it, but they did not perform it. So
exactly.
This was their only, I mean, Paper Lace, this is their one hit wonder.
Right. And so
Kabloosh.
We come to the number one song of the week, of this week, ending August 10th, 1974.
Right.
Fantastic vocalist.
And not the song you're thinking. That you don't know.
No, it's not the song you're thinking.
Right, I know.
Because the other song annoys me.
I know.
This is Roberta Flack, Feel Like Making Love.
Right.
It was the first week at number one, just to let the anticipation out of it. This was its only week at number one. The following week, The Night Chicago Died became the number one song.
Right.
But
a couple weeks earlier, it was at like number four or something, because I looked at the wrong list. So it is a great, and this is one of those great, Roberta Flack was another great 70s female singer. And it's got a great, the song has a great groove, and it's a good song. And it's a song that stayed around for a long time. I mean, it's one of those ones that kind of stays, it's not like dated. I mean, it's kind of fresh. It's just kind of a, kind of more of a singer-songwriter kind of
song. Like you point out, with some songs, just, you know, you can't escape the decade as soon as you hear it. This one is a little more timeless, like you said.
It has a little bit. It's got a 70s flair to it, but it's not just a definite, oh, this is, you know, it's got that 70s stamp on it, you know. Absolutely. Bow, chicka, wow, wow. Save the hedgehog. Hashtag
save the hedgehog. So as we wrap up this list, thank you very much for enjoying and hopefully you enjoyed 1 or 2 minutes of this.
Yeah.
The next time we do this, Mr. Talbot will be choosing a decade and a chart, a week ending and whatever. So please make sure to tune in for that. We will alternate on that, and occasionally we will have special guests, hopefully. Yes.
And we're actually doing this one live, so if the recording sounds different and we do something else, it will be different because we are actually sitting in the same room recording this.
Right.
We may be doing it next time via Skype, audio only, though, presented.
Yeah, but if you've seen our photographs...
You don't want to. You don't want to watch
especially
it.
Mine.
Yeah, especially Joe. He's ugly.
I
I held up pretty good after high school, but
Joe's... I went to complete shit. But if any of these opinions that you may have heard from us annoy you,
sorry.
I would invite you for self fornication, but I'd like you to come back and listen again.
Exactly.
So we'll definitely look forward, if you have any comments, to hearing your comments. And if at any time you want to recommend a decade for us to listen to, you know, please do. Like I said, when going through the list here, just one more time, to add which ones I would add to my list of the best 3,000 songs that I've ever heard. I can honestly say, like I said, please come to Boston. We'll definitely be on there. And I'm guessing Can't Get Enough of Your Love. Love Babe by Barry White will also be on there. Some of the others, while I may like them, Rock Your Baby may make it, but there's a different song by George McRae that I love more that would probably make it. And I've only got 3,000 songs to fill up, so I got to be selective, of course. Nevertheless, those are mine, Dennis.
To be honest, looking at this list of the 40, like you said, because you got to be, you know, I just don't put anything out there. Air That I Breathe by the Hollies. I do like that song a lot.
Good song.
That would be something that I would think about. I would probably do a John Denver song. Any song would be a good second. You're probably going to hear Poems, Prayers, and Promises at this point.
Well, and that's one thing about our list, too. Let's just go ahead and clarify that. As Dennis said in the intro, our lists are not necessarily made up of songs that we listen to in the top 40. It's made up of songs that we love.
Right.
And while the artists may have hit the top 40 with different songs,
right,
the songs that we put on there have personal meaning, because Dennis and I have had long, philosophical, occasionally alcohol-fueled discussions on music. We've shared this passion along with some of our other high school friends, Jerry. Right.
And the thing was, we talked about before, DeVille. and I put this on my page also, that I think of certain songs, and the ones that I put on this 3,000 list are the Time Machine songs. These are the songs, whenever they come on, for just a second, I think of something, my mind goes away.
And
there's sometimes I'll smell something,
right,
or I'll think of something that I haven't thought of in years. Just by hearing the same, it's a trigger to your mind. So, you know, this is the closest thing to a DeLorean with a flux capacitor that we're ever going to get. Seriously. I mean, it is. Music is a time machine, and there's certain songs, and everybody has those songs, that will trigger a moment in your life, good, and it could be bad. You know, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's just one of those things, but music, for some reason, you attach memories to.
Absolutely,
and that's one thing I love about music, is I can escape, for, you know, especially right now.
You're right. With COVID, you transport yourself to a different time, a different place, a different country.
Yep.
You know,
whatever. So
it's fantastic.
Anyway, Joe's been fun.
Absolutely, thank you, Dennis.
All right.
We look forward to irritating your ears again with our opinions.
Okay.
And thank you so much.
And this will be on the Ages of Rock. You can check it on agesofrock.com. And it will be posted on all the ones except for, I don't know if it'll be on YouTube, but it'll be on everything else, Spotify, Spreaker, and all those other ones. So until next time.
And it'll be a link to our pages.
Exactly, until our 3,000 songs we love pages. So anyway, till next time. See
you. Thank you so much.
See you.